It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Ephesians, we're in chapter 5. And you know, God would send His only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save those who are lost. And I feel as though I'm now not like Paul the Apostle in the sense that I'm an orator or that I am able to write the Word of God or anything like that, or I'm an apostle. I do not claim any of that. But as Paul the Apostle said, that he was chief of sinners. If he was chief of sinners, what does that make me? I am the chiefest of sinners. And it's hard for me to realize and understand that Jesus Christ came into this world to save me. It's still hard for me to understand why. But I know why, according to the Word of God, that God loved us. He loved us and He sent His only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save me personally. And He did that for you if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you know it goes further than that. Even if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He loves you and He died for you. But you must take advantage of His death by trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. He is God and He is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And He wants to save every person in this world because He did come to seek and to save those who were lost. I say that over and over again because it's so important for us to understand that. Not only as an unsaved person would, but as we who are saved, we need to constantly remember that Jesus Christ gave His all for us. Now, we're in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, and verse 3, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints." I remind you that Paul the Apostle here was writing to the church at Ephesus, the local church there, people, the worshipers of the Lord, those who have been born again. He's writing that to those people there. He says, fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. Don't let anybody be accused of this, or don't let anybody be doing these things, as becometh saints. Saints are not to do these things. Just as Paul wrote to that church at Ephesus, those believers there in that day, he writes to us today. He tells us that we're to keep ourselves clean in this world. We're to walk as he would have us to walk. And I remind you that we're made clean through the Word of God as saved people. We get into the Word of God, and God's Word cleanses us and helps us to know more perfectly what we are to be doing for Jesus Christ in this world. Well, notice in verse 3, once again, the word covetousness is mentioned there. These would be those vices mentioned in verse 3 that all of these things, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, it would seem that these are brought together, that they are, all three are connected. And these three words mentioned, fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, seem to indicate an association, in other words, a connection to the lowest and most debasing, corrupting vices. Notice the verse of covetousness, as well as the other vices mentioned, was not to be committed even once by those of the church at Ephesus. In other words, there should be no one who is guilty of the vices mentioned in Ephesians and chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, once again, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. We're to keep ourselves in the Spirit of the Lord. We are to keep ourselves serving God. And we're to watch out and to keep our bodies under, as Paul the Apostle said that he needed to do. He says, I keep my body under. In other words, I control my body. And let me remind you, there's only one way to control your body, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him have control of your life. Well, what was Paul's estimate then of covetousness? He considered it as an odious and abominable vice. a vice to be regarded in the same light as the most gross sin, and to be abhorred by all who had the Christian name. And that's for us today as well, as it was for those people in the church at Ephesus when Paul wrote this. Well, notice verse 4, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. He goes on, Paul goes on to say, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Notice these first words that is mentioned in verse 4. Paul the Apostle says, neither filthiness. Well, this, I believe, would mean obscene or indecent conversation. And one commentator has said this, literally taken, he says, would mean that which is shameful or deformed, distorted, neither filthiness. Nothing that gives the idea that something is bad. We stay away from those things. We don't even mention those things. Notice it says also in that verse, in verse 4 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, nor foolish talking. I believe this would be that kind of talk which is senseless, if you would, stupid, foolish. And this kind of talk is not fit to instruct or to edify. In other words, to give knowledge, and it's of no use. The foolish talking here would be idle chit-chat, useless teaching. That is common in the world of religion, so-called. The people get carried away with a form of ritualism. So many times in religion, they think it's proper that they wear a certain robe, that they wear a certain hat, that they say something over and over again so many times. There's so many things that people get caught up in that is so-called religion that needs to be steered away from. We don't want to get caught up into something that is not pleasing to God. We see the meaning here, I believe, foolish talking here. The meaning is that Christians should aim to have their conversation sensible, serious, sincere, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, where he said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew 12:36. Well, this does not mean we cannot be human in our speech. In other words, when it comes to the seriousness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and so forth, there should not be an indication of frivolity or make-believe in our talk. I think many times that churches fall into, a trap. They fall into something that is make-believe. Sometimes we have a magician who would come in, a so-called religious magician, or a Christian magician. Well, that Christian magician many times will say, well, now, boys and girls, this is just make-believe. And they do something that looks real, but it's make-believe. Well, my question is this. That person who's doing this, and those people who are watching, especially those children who watch something like this, and they see something make-believe, and then the magician, so-called Christian magician, turns around and says, now, boys and girls, this is about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, if what they presented in their magic tricks is not real, then why should those children believe that what they tell about Jesus is real? That becomes so confusing to individuals. And not only children, but adults would see this as something that is not real. We need to be careful in our speech. We need to be careful as to how we present Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. No foolish talking. No make-believe. Nothing that has to do with so-called religion that is not the gospel. Notice that verse goes on to say, nor jesting. This is verse 4 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Nor jesting. This would be, I believe, flippant, unserious kidding or joking talk. And I believe this could possibly mean we are not to make jest or make fun of something or someone. To say something humorous about someone or cause them embarrassment would certainly be unkind as well as unchristian. You see, in fact, the Bible teaches us that we are to have compassion for each other. And there are certain things in Scripture that are encouraged, and there are certain things in Scripture that are required. And I think of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, where it says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Well, I've read in 1 Peter 3:8 that courteousness is not only encouraged, it is positively required according to that verse. The verse says, "Be ye." Let me read it again. 1 Peter 3:8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another." That's for everyone. Every Christian is to have compassion one of another. "Love as brethren." Be pitiful. In other words, have compassion. Be courteous. Don't be rude, but be courteous. Well, I see that although humor and jesting, this is joking in verse 4, is often presented by ministers and other Christians, it's sometimes inconsistent with true dignity, as it should be when the gospel is presented. You see, we as ministers of the gospel and the people of God need on occasion to be reminded and ask ourselves this question when it comes to joking or exhibiting too much humor. Where was the humor and jesting, and this is joking, seen in the conversation of the Redeemer? Where was it in the writings of Paul? Where is it seen in Scripture that Christ came to entertain? You see, we as saved people, we're not entertainers. We're not to be entertainers, but we are to be proclaimers. We are to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to proclaim the gospel. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came into this world. He lived a sinless, perfect life, and he gave that life on the cross of Calvary that people could be saved and go to heaven and be with him one day. He didn't come joking and jesting. He didn't come making funny stories, telling funny stories. He came seriously. He came and kept his mind on what he came to do, and that was to do the will of his Father, which is in heaven. Well, what was the Father's will? The Father's will was that Jesus Christ would come and seek and save those who were lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's serious. That's not a joke. It's something that we need to present as Christians to other individuals so that they will know that Jesus Christ is serious about them going to heaven, that Jesus Christ wants them to be saved, to be able to see him one day. Jesus Christ looks forward to seeing us, the saved people. He looks forward to having us with him forever, 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 no ending. He's looking forward to that because we've trusted him as Lord and Savior. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, thank you for this time we've had together. And Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts and help us, Lord, to remember why Jesus Christ came, who he is, and who we are as saved people. And I would remind that unsaved person listening, Lord, that Jesus saves. I would remind that person that Jesus Christ wants them to trust him today as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.